Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
We had wrestling in gym.
Oh. Yeah. That was not a joy.
I was probably the only... I held a book during wrestling. When it was my turn to wrestle, I have a book out there. That's how into it I was.
And the Bulldog.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along through a Thursday here on WGR. Thanks for hanging with me today. Mike Shope is on vacation. I am the Bulldog, and happy to welcome on the AT&T hotline Sean Leahy from NBC Sports and Pro Hockey Talk. Welcome to the show, Sean. It's nice to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, what's happening here? Are we done for the off season? Is it over? Is Max Pacioretty going to be a Canadian? Is Eric Carlson going to be a Senator? Is Jeff Skinner going to stay in Carolina? Like where are we at here?
Yeah, it seemed like in the week or two after the draft, the Carlson talks heated up. There's some Pacioretty talk, and then just for whatever reason, things cooled, and now it's just awfully quiet. It's like all of the GMs and agents are at their cottages enjoying the rest of their summer, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, Carlson's still out there. It seems like he's going to be traded at some point. Who knows if he's going to go to Tampa or Dallas. And then Skinner, his name has been in the trade rumors really for the last two seasons. That almost seems like that's an inevitable move. And same for Pacioretty, especially with the Canadians coming out and saying that they're not going to offer him an extension, which is kind of a weird move to do that publicly. But his time in Montreal seems pretty, looks like it's coming to an end. So it seems like if a team wants to get a guy who's not yet 30, who can give you 20, 25 goals a year on the wing, there's definitely some plenty of options out there.
Yeah, I wonder about him, even if the thing that scared me off of him, Pacioretty, when we were here busy talking about Ryan O'Reilly being traded and Pacioretty maybe being the return in that, was the specter of a contract extension. And at his age, I would be worried about that because I feel like, you know, it's not going to be that long before you start regretting that. And the Sabres have got not a great track record with guys on long-term deals that are aging. Kyle Loposo, Matt Molson come to mind immediately. But I wonder if getting him without an extension, and if you're good, I'm thinking of the Sabres here, and you ride with him through the year, if your year doesn't go well, you spin him at the deadline as a rental. I wonder if that's an idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth an opportunity to look at for Jason Botter just to see what the price is. Given how everyone knows that he's going to get traded, Mark Bergeron really doesn't have too much power there as far as trying to up the price on, because everyone knows he's going to be traded at some point. So if you're Botter and the price is right, yeah, it's worth taking a shot at him to kind of boost things there on the offense. And and like you said, if it doesn't work out, you flip him at the deadline, you know he's going to be worth getting back some sort of asset, a draft pick or maybe a prospect or whatever. Or you maybe throughout the season, maybe you try and convince him to, if he likes there in Buffalo to stay, if he sees things are kind of trending finally trending in the right direction, convince him to stay. But he's going to turn 30 November. He's certainly, I'm sure, looking at a longer-term deal. And like you said, those guys, once they hit 30, especially on forward, things kind of start to nosedive offensively. And he's not quite the elite status player like a Crosby or Connor McDavid, where you kind of maybe expect a high level through their 30s. But it's worth a shot, especially if you're the Sabres and you're just trying to build on the excitement that's heading into the season with Dahlin and all the moves that they made so far this summer.
Right, and they still need some scoring. I mean, it didn't take long piecing lines together, for whatever it's worth for someone who works on the radio to do that, to pencil like Tage Thompson into a top six spot. And I mean, he's played 40 games in the NHL. Like, I don't think you need any more evidence than that the Sabres still need some scoring on the wings.
Yeah, that would mean that's I think the addition of Connor Sheary will help, but he's got some speed. He should look pretty nice next to Jack Eichel. And certainly scoring was a huge issue. Not only was it keeping the puck out of your own net, but scoring goals was a huge issue for the Sabres last year. And Patrick Reddy can certainly help on the wings in your top six, and certainly also be kind of a leadership guy in that room with a room that's full of a lot of young guys, young and up-and-coming guys. You know, they can learn a lot from a guy who was captain in a very heavy, you know, hockey media market in Montreal. So it's worth a shot, like I said, but only if the price is right. You know, just Jason Botter has all these assets to play with that he can, you know, build towards the future within, or use within trades to bring guys like a Pacioretty or someone else there that can help the team going forward. So if the price is right, I think Botter should certainly pursue it. But if you're Montreal, just certainly trying to maximize the return there for a guy who has some value around the league.
Right, and maximizing the return for them would be sending him somewhere that wants to sign into a contract extension. And for me, I'm like, no thanks on that. Sean Leahy is on the AT&T hotline with us. He writes about the NHL for NBC Sports and Pro Hockey Talk. So while we're on the Sabres, we'll get back to Carlson and Skinner, maybe if time allows. But the big move, of course, Ryan O'Reilly is shipped out. This is a high-priced player. This is a productive player. This is still a relatively young player, despite the fact that he's been in the league as long as he's been. But he showed up as a second-round pick right in his draft year and started right away with the Colorado Avalanche. Yet the Sabres felt like they needed a change. How do you think they did in that trade, Sean?
I think they did well. I think it was a good trade for them. You know, they shed the salary, but they brought him some nice pieces. Berglund and Sabaka could help you in the secondary scoring area. Tage Thompson, like I said, a young player, needs a little bit more experience. So you did pretty well in college, so we'll see what happens when he gets to the NHL level. But I think shedding the salary was important, because you don't look at just this season. You look at next season, where right now they've got just under, I think, $30 million in cap space, and that's for probably another rise in the cap ceiling and not too many high-price extensions that Jason Botter's got to worry about next summer. So that leaves them potentially with a lot of room to play with. And if they make some strides this season, maybe Botter can be a little bit aggressive in the free agent market, or even at the trade deadline next February and March, where it's going to be, to really build on a potential upward trend this year. Or, like we just talked about, maybe leaving some room for Max Pacioretty if he likes Buffalo enough to sign a extension. So we'll see. So they're set up nicely. Obviously, the key with this season is not only just a step forward, but seeing a lot of these young guys really kind of make their mark on the NHL level, especially guys like Dahlin, of course, and Casey Middlestad as well. As long as we see them take some strides this year, things will start looking a little bit more brighter in Buffalo in the coming years.
Sean, is it realistic to think that they'll have two Rookie of the Year candidates here in Middlestad and Dahlin?
Not at all. I mean, Middlestad was highly touted coming out of high school to the draft year last year, and there's no, you look at kind of his limited play so far at the professional level, and he looks like a guy in the right situation with the right line mates can certainly put up some points and contend for a Calder Trophy. And then there's not much more you could say about Dahlin. We've watched the YouTube videos and the GIFs on Twitter for the last year, just the way he's able to smoothly skate and kind of how he reminds you a little bit of Erik Karlsson, the way he plays, and obviously with his offensive ability. So if he can play to somewhere close to the level of what Erik Karlsson is, there's no doubt that the Sabres could have some a pretty exciting rookie class this coming year.
Yeah, boy, you mentioned those YouTube videos. I made the trek down first time in a long time for a development camp just to watch him, and it's I don't know. Have you seen him in person? It's like he's floating. It's really impressive.
The way he, not only just the way he skates, but the way he's able to avoid opposing players and skate around them with the puck, maintain his balance, has his head up, has great vision to make a pass off going around the defender. It's amazing for such a young kid, and I can't wait to see him in a couple months at the NHL level, just the way he plays. And he obviously has a great shot, but his vision and playmaking skills and skating ability will be a huge asset in the back for a blue line that certainly needs some help, and certainly he'll provide for the offense as well. So I'm excited to get going. He looks like he's a young kid, but just from watching him play, he's been playing against men in Sweden the last couple of years. So going to the NHL level, maybe taking some time to adjust that speed and the size of the rink, I don't think he'll have any issues. I think he'll start making his mark pretty early on in the season.
Sean Leahy from Pro Hockey Talk and NBC Sports on the AT&T hotline with me here on WGR. So how much of a jump? I mean, the Sabres finished last. They can't be worse. I mean, I guess they could have fewer points than they had last year. But how much of an improvement is realistic for this team? Is a 20-point jump realistic? Is contending for a wild card playoff spot realistic? The Atlantic is stacked with Toronto, Boston, and Tampa. What do you think is right to, I don't know, expect or at least hope for?
I think 70-ish points, kind of being not on the bubble, but just outside the bubble there. We'll see how Carter Hutton does now that he's kind of the guy in goal in a situation in full there. He had, you know, a couple good years there. And so let me just talk about the secondary scoring and adding a guy like Connor Sheary and Rasmus Dahlin. So there are plenty of areas that improved this summer for the Sabres. And you look at that division, Ottawa, just a train wreck, absolute train wreck. I could certainly see the Sabres finishing above them, and maybe even Montreal. I don't know. Montreal doesn't know kind of what they are, the way that Bergevin's kind of building on trading Galchenyuk for Max Domi. Just a weird thing there, but they still have Carey Price, and we all know how much Carey Price means to that franchise and kind of keeps them afloat. When he was out a couple years ago, we saw how things kind of, you know, nosedive at the end of the season. And then Detroit, I think I could see Buffalo in Detroit competing for, one of those, five, six, seven spots in the division there. But I could definitely see that Bonner did a good job improving this team. It's just a matter of putting the guys in the right situation, and Carter Hutton really proving himself as a number one in this league. And from there, if that all goes together, I could certainly see them hitting 70 points and just kind of being in the mix, not in the playoffs, not in the bubble, but just there. But like I said, all you want to see is just some steady improvement this year and build on it for next summer and going forward.
How about the top of this division? I mean, I think the three cup favorites right now in Las Vegas are in the Atlantic. It's Toronto. I don't know the order exactly. Tampa, Toronto, Boston. Toronto, of course, the big move to get Tavares. Tampa is still trying. It seems like maybe, I don't know if they're the favorite to get Carlson. Do you think we're going to get a Carlson trade, Sean?
I think so. Ottawa said they were going to offer him an extension as soon as they could on July 1st, and they did, and he hadn't signed it. So he's
right.
I can't see why he'd want to commit himself to Ottawa when you look at how they're going to be this season. They're in a full rebuild. It's just a tire fire there. Why do you want to commit himself there when he could go to a contending team or a team that could become a contender if he goes there, like in Dallas, for example? Tampa Bay is already a contender. If they add Carlson, it's almost unfair. It's almost going to be like a video game hockey watching that team next year. So, and you look at all the guys that are leaving. Mike Hoffman left. Craig Anderson reportedly wants out as well. So, I mean, guys are jumping off the ship there. Carlson's too talented. He's getting older. He wants to win. And he can get his 8 years somewhere else, like a Tampa, if he's traded there. So I think sooner or later we're going to get, I don't know why things kind of died off than they did in the last 10 days or so, but certainly once we get inch closer to training camp, if a trade hasn't happened, I can't imagine a team like Tampa or Dallas, the teams that were kind of reportedly the top two involved, really kind of upping their efforts to try and acquire that guy.
Do you think Vegas is out on that, or could they? They'll have. I mean, they've got the cap room. The thing I wonder about with Tampa is like who they give up and how they keep that band together if they give Carlson the contract that he certainly warrants, which would be eight years north of $10 million a year. I'm just wondering how they keep all that on the rails.
Yeah, I mean, the Vegas certainly has not only have the cap space, but they have the assets. They got a ton of draft picks over the next couple of years, and they could use to entice Tampa to make a deal, to entice Ottawa to make the deal. But as far as Tampa goes, we kind of saw that report where they were trying to make things work at a trade, and it kind of needed the New York Rangers maybe to come in and to take some salary, like maybe potentially as a Ryan Callahan was a rumored name. So Steve Yzerman has done a masterful job of working the salary cap and keeping that team a Stanley Cup contender. I don't doubt his abilities in pulling off not only this deal but extending Carlson and making the money work where they'll still remain a contender not only for this coming season but years beyond because they have so many assets in their system. There's certainly guys that you could trade off, you know, young players that maybe would be enticing to Ottawa, like a Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat, guys who are kind of heavy in salary and term on their contracts but are still young enough where if you're a team like Ottawa, you may want to take them on to kind of, you know, build your team around going forward. So if Yzerman can pull it off, it's going to be pretty amazing to watch Tampa next year just with the amount of stars in that team.
Yeah, it would be mind-boggling. They were like my number one go-to on the center ice package this season, like them in Winnipeg. But I really crushed down Vasilevsky this year, watching him. He's just so athletic and just there's so much talent. And it's just, you know, you sort of – I found them in December. I wasn't like on top of them. I knew they were going to be good, but I wasn't watching them. And then suddenly I turn them on and it's like, who's Gord? Who's Point? Like, who are what? Who are these new guys? Like they needed more reinforcements in the form of secondary scoring, but yet there it is.
Yeah, I mean, and the key thing too is for not only just the Lightning, but a lot of these teams that are very good and contending teams is they get production out of their cheap young players. Yanni Gord had a great season. Braden Point had a great season. Both those guys are making $1 million or less.
Right.
Mikhail Sergachev, who they acquired from the Canadiens for Jonathan Drouin and had a fantastic year, was in the Calder Trophy race. So those guys stepped up. They'll get their money in a couple of years, but for now they're on cheap contracts. And they're complementing the offense. Like guys like Stamkos and Tyler Johnson and Palat and Kucherov and Hedman Bring as well. So and even Vasilevsky, like you said, you know, he had a great season. He's on a cheap deal too. So that's the way Yzerman's been able to work. He's been able to commit these guys to kind of cheapish kind of deals. Even the Nikita Kucherov extension he just got. Mm-hmm. He's been making I think his cap hits $9.5 million for the next bunch of years. You look at his production the last couple of seasons. That the way the NHL is going and the salary cap's going, that contract's going to look like a bargain in a couple of years if Kucherov keeps playing and scoring 90, 100 points every season.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Hey, I mentioned Vegas there quickly. If you had to bet right now, would you bet on them to be in the playoffs again next year, or do you think like the bubble burst and it was just a dream season?
No, I could certainly see them being in the playoffs. I like I like several of the moves that McPhee did this offseason. I think Paul Stastny is a great move. I mean, I would love to see him stay in Winnipeg to play alongside Patrick Laine, but putting him in Vegas, I think that's a great move for them. A veteran guy who can, you know, provide some points and set up your centerman. The interesting one is going to be William Karlsson. He's got an arbitration hearing set up next month. Coming off a monster season that nobody saw coming, and if you're George McPhee, what kind of extension do you try and get this guy on? Do you try and get him on a bridge and like a 2-year prove it to me contract? Because this guy went from 6 goals to 43 in one season.
Right.
What's the expectation going forward? But if I'm McPhee personally, I would just keep lowballing him until he takes a 1 or 2 year deal. And like I said, if you do it over 2 years again, then we'll give you your big money. But if they're bringing back Isaac Marchessault, Riley Smith, Cody Eakin as well, Carlson, if he's able to come back on a nice deal. So they're bringing back good pieces. They had obviously a great chemistry last season. Not a lot of big changes from last year. They extended Fleury. You figure he's going to have another solid season. So even though they're playing in a tough conference, I think their division is one of the weaker in the NHL. I could certainly see them being back in just with the excitement around that team in the city and just with the way that the team really gelled together, you know, awfully quickly at the start of last year.
That William Karlsson shooting percentage is just nuts. Like I would be very scared about committing long term there. Like he looks like he'll be a nice player, but boy, I wouldn't just assume I'm going to get 40 goals out of him.
No, absolutely. That's why I would say if I was McPhee, I would really do a hard line 2-year, you know, show me contract. 2-year, modest salary, and say if you do it again over 2 years, then we'll open up the checkbook and give you some big money. Because regression is going to hit him hard, but it's only a matter, you know, you wonder, is he going to go back to being a 10, 15 goal guy, or will he kind of settle in that 25, 30 goal range, which would be nice for the Knights going forward on a multi-year deal. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate the time very much and look forward to visiting with you again down the road sometime.
Absolutely. You got it. Take care.
That is Sean Leahy, writes about the NHL for NBC Sports as well as Pro Hockey Talk, joining us on the AT&T hotline. We will take a time out here, get you an update, and get back into talking about the quarterback of the Bills. There's a poll up. I'm going to update the poll results. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen be the Bills' starting quarterback? We'll take your calls on that as well as we move through a Thursday afternoon. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Mike Shope is away. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
I feel good about it. Like you said, we laid the groundwork in OTAs and the mini camp, the foundation, and now we have to kind of pick up and continue to do that, laying that foundation during training camp and really come together. And obviously throughout this entire process, seeing who our starter quarterback is going to be, seeing how some of our young guys, who's going to kind of rise to the top, kind of like what Matt Milano and Tre'Davious did last year, because we're really going to need some guys here and there to really step up and play beyond maybe their years in the league to help us obviously get back to the playoffs and ultimately make a run at a championship.
That is Lorenzo Alexander. He was a guest on One Bills Live earlier this afternoon. That show today was hosted by Steve Tasker and Andrew Peters. Normally from the Instigators, of course. Murph has got a few days off. His son Mark is getting married this weekend, so he is tending to that. Congratulations to the Murph gang on that, and Mark specifically. Lorenzo Alexander. One of the most recognizable voices on the team. Easily.
Probably the most recognizable.
The most recognizable voice on the team.
Maybe McCoy. McCoy kind of has that pace.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the voice, but it's the pace.
His pacing, yeah. Yes. I agree with that. There's no mistaking McCoy. He has a very, I'm not going to even try to duplicate it, but you know when you hear it. There's a certain way of talking that he has that is, I think, very distinctive. But Alexander, like, he's only been here, what, this is
third year.
Third year?
Yeah.
Well, are we sure about that? I think he got here with Rex. Didn't he come with Rex?
That would mean
fourth year.
Rex was here 2 years ago.
2 years. No, I know. Didn't he come with Rex? Like when Rex first got here is what I'm saying. I'm trying to remember. I think so.
No, this is the third year.
It's third year? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, I mean, it's not that long, but man, he's on a lot. He's a regular on the Murph Show. Anyway, whatever. Revisiting the poll. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills' starting quarterback? That's where I slaved. Somehow I managed to not be able to put that up before the show started. I don't know how. I just, anyway. And I don't know, Joe, do you find these results, 1,600 votes? Oh, thank you for that. I'd love to see that, all those votes. Keep the votes coming. I love it. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills' starting quarterback? 42% say week one, right out of the box, starter. Midseason, it gets 23% of the vote, 13% for last four games of the season, 22% leaning towards sitting out the whole year and starting in 2019. I'm not particularly surprised that week one has the most votes, but I'm a little surprised at, A, how much there is on sit the whole year. And maybe this is coupled with that week one doesn't have more behind it. Like I would have expected, like I opened the show today talking about how I've been Mr. Patient. He's got to work on his mechanics. Let's make sure David Cuddy does what he needs to do with him. All this stuff. It's very, very, very peak football-y talk for me about Allen. Like I'm inclined to buy a lot of that stuff. But as training camp is a week away and a preseason game is 3 weeks away, I mean, it's all just creeping up on me. I'm feeling more like, let's take the new guy out for a spin. Like, that's sort of how I get. And I guess I was anticipating that I'd have more fans feeling that way. And again, the majority of people voting in this poll do feel like week one, but it's not like any kind of a runaway. Like, there's a lot of, I feel like the people responding to this poll are pretty patient, inclined to just sort of, okay, well, you know, we'll see. And a lot of the responses that I'm getting to this, I'll scroll through a bunch when I get a chance, are, you know, not before he's ready. One guy, someone I hear from regularly, Greg, up in Ontario, said, like, let's see what the line is like, basically. And that's really something to keep in mind, too. Like, it, and I'm glad to get someone that sort of like pumps the brakes for me a little bit, because another facet of taking your time, another reason to be patient and not want Allen to play right away is not really being all that comfortable with what there is around him. And the McCoy part of that is massive. I mean, we just still don't know what is going to come of that situation that was reported last week. It just still is just kind of hanging there. And I mean, who knows if he is going to be found to be in some way involved in that. And if he is, I mean, I have a hard time seeing the league not really coming down hard on him, and if not the Bills themselves coming down really hard on him. Again, if he is found to be involved in that situation in some way. So what do the Bills themselves look like around Josh Allen? I've got a revamped offensive line. I don't know if I'm going to have LeSean McCoy. I don't have that much of a receiving core. Like, is that where you want to put a guy whose fundamentals maybe aren't exactly strong at this point, because he still might be inclined, especially if he's harried by a flawed offensive line and a not so talented group of receivers, like he might, that sounds like a recipe to me for lapsing back into bad habits to me. So that I think could be pretty tricky. And that's something to keep in mind.
I have two schools of thought on that. For one, like the poll, the fact that it's not higher than 42%, I would have said I'm also surprised in that, because wouldn't you think you'd be taking a little from each crowd? The people that love the pick probably think, oh, he's really good, so they want to see him right away. And then maybe people like me who didn't love the pick would say, okay, just let's see.
Prove it.
And if he's bad, then we'll find out quicker, and then we can move on quicker instead of wasting a whole year and then wasting 2 years because we needed to let him sit a year before we found out that he was actually not a good quarterback. But then the other part of me, like you just kind of said, if McCoy especially is not on the field, I was talking about this last night with a guy on the phones. Like, who is the guy you're dumping the ball off to that can take it 25 yards? I don't think there's a guy on this team.
Is Travis Cadet still on the team?
Yeah, but it's he might be the top answer for that.
I don't know. I think it's pretty sad.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think the supporting cast is there.
Right.
To benefit him if he has that, if he can hit that ceiling. I don't know if he can hit it if he's playing right away. But then again, I do, like, I want to find out.
Right.
Already, whether he's good.
Well, the finding out right away, like I'm good for that. Like, a part of wanting to draft him and not worrying about like the repercussions is to me being able to do it again as soon as you want, because it doesn't cost you as much money as it used to. Like, you don't have to burn. Like, there was this notion around the draft. You still hear some, in my opinion. It's just an antiquated thought that you're crippling your franchise. Boy, you get that wrong, it's going to set you back. Dave Gettleman said it. You pick the wrong quarterback. I'm almost sure it was him, the Giants GM. Like, set your franchise back 5 years. No, not really. I mean, I don't think you're going to find out. Like, if Allen plays right away and is kind of bad, I don't think that it's over. Like, Allen is the week one starter, and by week eight, they're like, oh my God, Jesus, we got to get him off the field. And they stop it, right? They stop the fight. Like, throw the towel! And they get him out. And they win three games. They're not picking a quarterback again next April, right? Like, there's no way they're doing that.
No, but I would think I would want them to.
You could make the case for it, I know. But I think they would stand by, well, we made a mistake. He was our best guy in camp. That doesn't mean he was necessarily ready, and we didn't have what we wanted around him, and we've got work to do. We need to get some support for him, and yada, 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 and then you roll him back out there again in 2019. I don't think you – but after that, then I think then you've reached the conclusion. I mean, you know, think about how quickly they moved on Manuel. I mean, now that's a different coaching staff and different management, but it's not, you know, guys just don't get the kind of time they used to get. Like, the call is made a lot more quickly than it used to be. But I just don't think, I mean, it would just have to be an all-time crap storm for it to go that badly for them to, I think, use a high pick right away. But the potential for it to go badly with the supporting cast they have, especially this McCoy piece, like, I don't know, it's funny, like, football, right? This is what football is, the beauty of football. It's the essence of talking about football. An hour ago, I would have been in here saying, get him on the field. I'm excited. I can feel it. They don't have to be conservative with him. They played Peterman last year, and now an hour later, I'm sitting here going, I don't know. What do they have around him? You know, I'd love to know if any of the people who voted 2019 or even last four games of the season, that's 35% of the people who responded to this poll, how soon do you want Josh Allen as the Bills starting quarterback? If any part of them voting that way is because they're scared of him being bad and don't want the hope of him being good to be gone too soon. Follow that? Like, there's like this sort of protective mode. Like, because you always like whoever the new guy is, who's everybody's favorite quarterback? The guy who hasn't disappointed us yet is everybody's favorite quarterback. Ryan Brum, hey, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Jeff Toole. Like, there's always that. And McCarron is even some of that now. Like, you know, he's all right in Cincinnati. Like, maybe. So I think with Allen, I would understand, and I might even cop to some of this myself. Let's not rush it, because as soon as the bloom is off, then, like, I'm in trouble again. And then it's like I'm in despair. So there's a little bit, I think, of sort of you're guarding against being let down by not wanting him to play right away. I don't know, man. I've made both cases today. And I think you can argue both somewhat convincingly. But, like, for me, it starts to get emotional at this time of the year. And by that, I mean, I'm eager to see him and I expect to be impressed by some of what he does. And I think I'm going to be eager to see him much sooner than I anticipated I would be. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills starting quarterback? Phone lines are available for you at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can vote in the poll. You can call me up. We'd love to hear from you. I'll have Sal on again in about 15 minutes. He's out at Ted's Hot Dogs location on Union Road in Cheektowaga, across from Cheektowaga High School. And we'll talk more about what he wrote about the Bills' vetting process of Josh Allen. Also, he had some quotes in another story about the Bills' approach to this season, and we'll talk with Sal about that as well. But you're welcome to join. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR. Get you today's deal of the day right now. Here's a deal to jump on. Well, you're going to love this. Get 4 play passes to Bounce Magic. See? Jump on. For just $25. It's a $48 value, valid at both Amherst and Hamburg locations. It's today's deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at MyBuffaloPerks.com. Mike Schoep's on vacation. I am the Bulldog. Got Sneaky Joe hanging out here. Derek's got the updates. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Sal Capaccio coming up in about 10 minutes once again to talk about his two lengthy articles at WGR550.com that I strongly encourage you to go check out. Right now, though, time for a couple of phone calls. Mike is next up on WGR. Thanks for calling, Mike. You are on the air.
Thanks. How you guys doing today?
Doing really well. Thanks. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm just a little, I get a little edgy when I hear all this quarterback talk. I don't expect to see, Allen for any reason this year, unless it's the end of the year and we're already in the playoffs and they want to give whoever our starting quarterback, is a rest. I am always annoyed about the fact that they don't give Nate Peterman anywhere near the credit that he deserves. I'm sick of hearing about the 5 interceptions because it wasn't 5. 2 of those passes were on the money passes that were dropped by the receivers. He is a competent quarterback. I actually expect to see him start this year. Everything else that's going on, if anybody thinks that any of the people on this football team have not been excited about where we're going and where we're going to go this year and have not been kept themselves in shape in the last, you know, since the mini camps and all that stuff and are ready to rock and roll, you're crazy. This is Buffalo, not Miami. We're going to rock and roll this year and everything else is just pessimism on everybody else's part. The experts don't know any more than anybody else does because Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott aren't the circus act that Rex Ryan had here. Nobody's blabbing about anything here. We keep our stuff here in town. We're going to rock and roll this year, and I can't wait to see it.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. It was 5. It was 5. I know there's circumstances, but it was 5. The other team caught the ball 5 times when he threw it. I mean, so, you know. I'm not disputing that he could win the job. He could. They love him. They love him over there. So, Mike thinks Nathan Peterman's going to lead the Bills to the playoffs and get rested in week 17. Okay. Knock yourself out. I mean, I don't see it that way at all. I guess I'm a little more pessimistic than you. Yeah, but I appreciate you calling. Mike is next up on WGR. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Bulldog, how's it going?
Great.
I got a question for you about Josh Allen. Is there any piece that you think, like, be it free agent now or maybe a veteran cut that would really lean you towards going Josh Allen? If, say, we pick up Dez or a Decker or I don't even know, an unnamed guy, some lineman or another offensive piece also pending. We don't know what's going to happen with Shady. Is there anybody that would sway you to say, you know what, I feel more comfortable that I've given Josh Allen another weapon or two. Say, yeah, let's go with the kid. I mean, we took him 7 for a reason. I mean,
yep.
Reason you go get a quarterback.
I think Dez would be an answer to that question for me. Dez Bryant would be an answer to that question for me. And there might be, you know, once we get through July and into August – you know, let's not forget the Bills last year traded Sammy Watkins. Maybe they can swing a trade for, I don't think they're trading for a player of that caliber, but you know, who knows? So they could add a piece to the receiving core that could make a difference for them. I think it's possible they could do that. Sure. You know, and that might make me feel a little more comfortable about, you know, throwing Allen in. Because I would like him to have as much of an opportunity to succeed as possible, and there's just not a lot out there for them right now. Kelvin Benjamin's interesting. I was thinking of bringing him up at some point, and we'll see if maybe we'll get to him in the second half of the show today. Thank you for the call, both mics here. We'll have more time for your calls coming up, but Sal Capaccio is going to rejoin me coming up at the top of the hour. He's out at Ted's on Union Road in Cheektowaga. He's got two lengthy pieces up today at WGR550.com, one about how the Bills approached selecting Josh Allen, and another about their expectations for the season, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. So we'll get Sal's thoughts on both of those as we move along here. Mike Shope is on vacation. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.